Let's read Romans chapter 10, verses 14 through 21. In this last half of Romans 10, we have a clear description of the means God uses to bring salvation to people, whether they be Jews or Gentiles. Romans 10, beginning at verse 14. How then shall they call on him in whom they have not believed? And how shall they believe in him of whom they have not heard? And how shall they hear without a preacher? And how shall they preach unless they are sent? As it is written, how beautiful are the feet of those who preach the gospel of peace, who bring glad tidings of good things. But they have not all obeyed the gospel. For Isaiah says, Lord, who has believed our report? So then faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. But I say, have they not heard? Yes, indeed, their sound has gone out to all the earth, and their words to the ends of the world. But I say, did Israel not know? First, Moses says, I will provoke you to jealousy by those who are not a nation. I will move you to anger by a foolish nation. But Isaiah is very bold and says, I was found by those who did not seek me. I was made manifest to those who did not ask for me. But to Israel, he says, all day long I have stretched out my hands to a disobedient and contrary people. Once again, let's begin with some background notes. In the second half of Romans chapter 10, the Apostle Paul continues his stress on the responsibility of people to respond in faith to the message of God's grace in Jesus Christ. Remember, in Romans 9, we have the divine side of our salvation. And in Romans 10, we have the human side of our salvation. The human side is that we must respond in faith to the gospel of God's grace in Jesus Christ. Religious sincerity is not enough. There must be faith in Christ. If ever there was a case where religious sincerity would have been enough, it would have been the case of Israel. Look back at verse 2. For I bear them witness that they have a zeal for God. Notice, it was not a zeal for Hinduism or a zeal for Buddhism. It was for God, the God of the Bible. In fact, it was a sincere effort to follow the law of God. But their efforts did not make it with God. Why? Because it was not according to knowledge, verse 2. And they were ignorant of God's righteousness, verse 3. They failed to respond in faith. And they lost out on the righteousness of faith, which is readily available. The same is true of many people today. They are sincere, but sincerely mistaken. Some are even zealous to do the right thing, but they fail to make it with God because in their pride, they think they can make it on their own, and they fail to respond in faith to the message of God's grace in Christ. Ephesians 2:8 and 9 is so appropriate here. For by grace are you saved through faith. And that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God, not of works, lest anyone should boast. You remember last week I told you about a man that I had talked to who had become a Christian. He prayed a very basic prayer, but it was the prayer of faith. He responded to the message of God's grace and received Christ. Now, I was just thinking about that. What a contrast to the majority of Jewish people that we read of here in Romans chapter 10. For close to 4,000 years, and even to this present time, they do not see the simple way of faith. The Jewish people continue to try and impress God with their religious efforts. They are religiously zealous and sincere, but they are wrong. And according to the Bible, they are lost. What a contrast to the simple, humble prayer of faith in Christ that this new friend of mine made over a cup of coffee after about an hour conversation. And that really brings us to our doctrinal points concerning God's means of bringing salvation to people. So doctrinal or teaching point number one, the gospel must be preached before it can be believed. The gospel must be preached before it can be believed. In verses 14 and 15, we have five links in the chain of evangelism. Verses 14 and 15. How then shall they call on him in whom they have not believed? And how shall they believe in him of whom they have not heard? And how shall they hear without a preacher? And how shall they preach unless they are sent? Do you see the five links there? Now, in these verses, we move from effect to cause. Let's start with verse 15 and move from cause to effect for each of the links. So link number one, the preacher is sent with a message. The preacher is sent with a message. Who's the preacher? All of us, not just the gifted evangelist. The Lord himself sends us. Go into all the world and preach the gospel. Link number two, the preacher preaches the message. The preacher preaches the message. Now what's the message? The gospel. Verse 15, the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ. Again, the Great Commission. Go you into all the world and preach the gospel. Mark 16, verse 15. Let's not preach a watered-down gospel. Let's not preach a social gospel. You see, where the social gospel goes, ultimately, you're just making a person more comfortable on their road to hell. So we are to meet social needs, but we need to preach the message. Link number three. The unbeliever hears the message. The unbeliever hears the message. We need to communicate in terms that people can understand. We don't just pass out pamphlets and run away. We don't use jargon that doesn't communicate. You know, I had a student ask not too long ago what the word messianic meant. Well, folks, if a Christian student asks a question like that, you can appreciate how careful we must be in the use of our language to communicate the message to the unbeliever in terms they can understand. Link number four, the unbeliever believes the message. The unbeliever believes the message. And that belief must be more than mental assent. Illustration, a chain smoker may believe that smoking is bad for him and that it will lead to his death. But if he doesn't stop, if he doesn't commit himself to this belief, he'll die. There must be commitment of his life to what he believes with his head. The same is true for the gospel message. Link number five, the unbeliever calls on the Lord. The unbeliever calls on the Lord. If the belief moves from the head to the heart, there will be that call. This is true commitment. This is the response of true faith to the message of God's grace. And it results in salvation, as verse 13 says, "For whoever calls on the name of the Lord shall be saved." The gospel must be preached before it can be believed. Doctrinal or teaching point number two. The gospel must be believed before it can save. The gospel must be believed before it can save. Now, we just went over that point in one of the links of evangelism. But now you see in verses 16 through 21, the Apostle Paul shows that this is the link that Israel missed. In verse 16 through 21, the emphasis is definitely on Israel. Now, the links of evangelism that we looked at in verses 14 and 15 apply universally, as we see there in verses 12 and 13. But now you see in verses 16 through 21, Paul is again concentrating on Israel. Everything necessary for Israel to respond in faith to God's grace was readily available, but they would not believe. The preachers certainly were sent by God with a message. Think of the prophets of the Old Testament. And the people certainly heard the message. Verse 18, "But I say, have they not heard? Yes, indeed. Their sound has gone out to all the earth, and their works to the ends of the world." The Apostle Paul quotes Psalm 19, verse 4 here, which has to do with the revelation of God in creation. Israel had that message, as does everyone else, but Israel had more. They had the special revelation of God, the Scripture. But they wouldn't believe. Verse 16, for they have not all obeyed the gospel. For Isaiah says, Lord, who has believed our report? What's the obvious answer there? Very few. So Israel certainly had the message preached to them, and they certainly heard it, but not with the ears of faith. Faith must follow hearing the word for salvation. Verse 17, so then faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. Now in verses 19 and 20, Paul quotes two more scriptures from the Old Testament to show that not only did Israel hear the message, but they understood it as well. It is clear from these scriptures in Deuteronomy and Isaiah that the Gentiles would be brought in and come to know the true God through the true Messiah. Now see if you can follow the argument of Paul at this point. Verse 19. For I say, did Israel not know? First Moses says, I will provoke you to jealousy by those who are not a nation. I will move you to anger by a foolish nation. Israel had to admit that many Gentiles were now worshiping the God of the Jews. And the Jews did not like it, as Deuteronomy 32, quoted here, predicted. Now verse 20. But Isaiah is very bold and says, I was found by those who did not seek me. I was made manifest to those who did not ask for me. Israel further had to admit that the Gentiles who had now found the God of the Jews in fulfillment of Isaiah's prophecy that's quoted here, found him through Jesus. They could not deny this. So Israel had the message and heard the message and understood the message that the Messiah was Jesus, but they would not respond in faith. Verse 21, but to Israel he says, all day long I have stretched out my hands to a disobedient and contrary people. What a statement of the long-suffering and love of God. It brings to our minds the outstretched hands of our Lord on the cross, doesn't it? But Israel would not believe by faith what they knew to be true. The same is true of many people today. The gospel must be believed before it can save. Practical application. How beautiful are your feet? How beautiful are your feet? Now, I'm not asking you if you have nice-looking feet. I'm referring to verse 15. How beautiful are the feet of those who preach the gospel of peace, who bring glad tidings of good things. This is a quote from Isaiah chapter 52, and there it refers to those who would bring the good news of the Jews returned from captivity. Paul applies it here to those who preach the good news of salvation in Christ, true release from captivity to sin. Do you have beautiful feet? Are you sharing the good news? I challenge you, I challenge myself, to share the gospel with one non-Christian this coming week. Will you do that? Will you take up that challenge? How beautiful are your feet?